Hello, and today I don't have a story, but I do have something which I think will be very useful for you. We're coming up to the date, the time when students have to do the exam. June, July, May even. And so I'm thinking about how to help my students to get a good mark in the exam. So today I'm going to look at B1 level. I'm going to look at the parts of the exam where you express yourself, which is the writing and the speaking. I'm going to concentrate more on the speaking, part 3, today, but the technique is the same for the writing as well. Okay, so this is a B1 level podcast for B1 students or students who want to get that B1 level. Here we go. Hello and welcome to Practicing English. My name is Mike Bilbra and these are podcasts for students of English at B1 or B2 levels, practicingenglish.com. When you are thinking about the exam and you have been perhaps following a course, maybe you're at school or maybe you're an adult studying by yourself or in an academy, and you look at your book and you think, my goodness, there is a lot of language here to learn. Well, that's true, and it's especially true for the reading part of the exam where you need to understand a lot of language, the listening part of the exam as well, where you need to understand a lot of B1 level language. But for the writing and for the speaking, it's a bit different. Because if you are in control of what you're doing, well then you perhaps don't need to have so much language and you can still impress the examiners. So let me explain what my technique is. Now, I think if you have been in an academy and you have a teacher, well then you will have learnt, you will learn that there are some phrases that you can use to help you in the speaking exam, what we call functional phrases. And these functional phrases will help you in the exam to express yourself, to show that you have the B1 language that the examiner is looking for. But sometimes that language is, well, let me explain. When I'm an examiner and I'm examining, and I hear, for example, the functional language, what do you think? And yes, I agree. And then again, what do you think? Yes, I agree. So I'm talking about part 3. If you remember, you have like a family, for example, or some people, they want to do something and they have to choose options that you have there. And you have to talk about the options and say, eventually, which is the best option for that family or that person. And so you're talking together. It's an interactive activity where the two candidates are talking to each other. So I hear a lot, what do you think? Yes, I agree. Sometimes I think they're just saying that. They probably don't agree at all. If you're trying to impress the examiner, you want something which sounds more spontaneous, something which sounds like your own language. And there's another example of that I'm going to use as well. I hear sometimes some phrases in B1 speaking exams which are obviously learnt just for the exam, and they are so inappropriate. What does that mean? Inappropriate means they do not fit. They do not sound natural in the context of a B1 speaking exam. Let me give you an example. Recently, in speaking exams, teacher must have been teaching the phrase, "I know where you're coming from." I know where you're coming from. What does that mean? Well, it's a colloquial expression used sometimes by native speakers, which means, yes, I understand what you're saying. I know where you're coming from. Now, the problem with that in a B1 exam is that it doesn't sound right. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're in London and you want to know where the post office is. So you stop someone. Who does that these days with mobile phones? But anyway, this is the example I'm going to use. And you stop someone in the street and you say, "Excuse me, can you tell me where the post office is, please?" And that person says, "Yes, of course. Just go down this street and turn right, and it's on the left-hand side."
"Ah, thank you. I know where you're coming from."
"I know where you're coming from?" What you want to say is, "Thank you, I understand." It's not appropriate for this situation. It's not right. It doesn't fit in that situation. And neither does it fit in an exam like a B1 speaking exam. So do not use these very advanced, native-like expressions to use in your B1 exam. So tip number one, advice number one, use B1 language. What is B1 language? B1 language is that language that you have in your textbook. Use that. So that's the first point. Now, the other thing is then, well, as I said earlier, it can sound a little bit unnatural if we're just saying, "Yes, I agree. What do you think?" My advice is you learn some expressions which you can use in part 3 of the speaking test, which is the example I'm using here. And what you do is you take control of the situation so that you use your phrases. In that way, you can use some nice, authentic sounding and natural sounding phrases. And the examiner will think, "Hey, this student's good." Let me give you some examples. Well, the phrases which I've chosen are these. And I should say, it doesn't matter what the subject is going to be about, you will always be able to use these phrases. They have to be very flexible. Flexible phrases. So that's another tip. Memorize some phrases which are very flexible. First of all, number one, phrase one, "some kind of." Some kind of. Right, what does that mean? It means when we're trying to describe something, if we say "some kind of," K-I-N-D, that means it is something like that, but you're not too sure. I should say at this point, don't worry too much if you haven't understood the expression. The dialogue for the part 3 exam is in the show notes and also on my website at podcast 186. So, "some kind of," something like that. So, what we have, there's a picture as well that I'm going to use today for the part 3 exam. And in the picture on my website, and have a look, you'll see there is a family and there are 6 different museums around them. And you have to choose which would be the best museum for this family. There are 2 adults, a mother and a father, and 2 young boys, about 9 or 10 or something like that. Okay, so that's the situation. But it doesn't matter, These expressions you could use in any situation. So my next one is, well, that must be. That must be. And then at the end of the sentence, you say, I suppose. So if you take control of the situation at the beginning and you start speaking, well, then you can choose a picture and say what you think it must be, but you're not too sure. And then you say, I suppose. So the example is here. I think it's some kind of instrument. And then later you can say, so that must be a museum of old musical instruments, I suppose. So you put those together. That must be, that is a phrase of deduction, saying you are sure it is something. That must be a museum of old musical instruments, I suppose. You don't usually, perhaps in part three, say what you like, but you could do. You could do. To argue your point, you could say if you like something or not yourself. But don't use like. Why use like when that's only an A1 word? Why not use I'm fond of or I'm keen on? Both of those are taught at B1 level and they are B1 vocabulary. I'm fond of, F-O-N-D, or I'm keen on, K-E-E-N. One of the pictures is some dolls. The candidate says, I'm very fond of old dolls, because it's a museum of dolls. So you can say, I'm keen on, I'm very keen on dolls, or I'm fond of. And you'll see when I read through the whole conversation how that fits in. Now, another phrase you can use, which will sound very natural if you use it properly, is if your candidate, if the other candidate said something a little different to what you say, you can say, yes, I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind. I agree with you. Aha, now that's a nice little B1 phrase, I've changed my mind. And it will sound spontaneous because you are answering the other candidate's opinion. I've changed my mind, which is B1 and sounds great in there and will impress the examiner. I've got another one as well, which should go with any situation in part three, because we are talking about six different options and we have to say which is the right one. So at some time you could say, it's difficult to please everybody. It's difficult to please everybody. Now the verb to please is a B1 verb and it will sound really good in that situation. Another word which is a word which examiners think is very English and yet not easy for foreign students to learn is the word suitable. Suitable. If something is suitable, it means it is perfect for the situation or just right for the situation. When you're talking about these different options, you could say, yes, I think that's suitable for everybody. That's suitable. That is perfect for everybody. And another little phrase you can use, which you can use whenever you like, is when you say something and you want to add more information, you use I mean. I mean, M-E-A-N. So in the dialogue you will hear talking about, if you look at the picture, there's a castle there. It's like a castle museum for them to go to. So you could say that you think it would be a good idea for the views the views from the castle. I mean, from the top of the castle, you should have nice views. So it just gives some more information. And instead of saying also, say I mean, from the top of the castle, there should be nice views. Okay, I've got another one as well, which is a nice alternative to I agree, which is good point, which just means that I agree with what you say and I think is a good idea. A last bit of language to use I'm going to give you is a question tag. Now, what sounds more spontaneous than a question tag? You know, the isn't it, don't you, are you? To use one of those is not easy, and if you do, you will convince the examiner that this is spontaneous. But it won't be spontaneous. You will practice it, and you will use the same one. In fact, it's just one sentence. So when you're talking about the different options, you can just say, I think that is a museum of modern art, isn't it? Isn't it? Now, the use of that question tag will be very convincing and sound wonderful, but really it's just a complete phrase that you're going to use, and you can use it in any context of a Part 3 exam. I think that's a museum of modern art, isn't it? I think that is an umbrella, isn't it? As long as you say that or it as the subject, well, then you can say isn't it in the question tag. I think that's a table, isn't it? I think that's a good idea, isn't it? I think that is a wonderful option, isn't it? Now, the next thing then is really to learn these expressions. You need to do some practice sessions with the Part 3 with a partner. If you're in an academy or a school, well, that's not too difficult to do it together. Write down these phrases and use them, or they could be other phrases too, but make sure they're nice little phrases which will sound natural. Practice the phrases as much as you can, and that will help you when you go into the exam and you have those in your head. You control the conversation so that you bring out those phrases. And my last point is that the same technique you can use in the writing as well. When you're doing the email, for example, I'm talking about Cambridge Preliminary English here, of course, you write the informal email. You could use some of these same expressions. I'm very fond of. It's some kind of, or I've changed my mind. Yes, that's very suitable for me. I mean, comma, and you give another idea. Okay, what I'll do now then is to finish with this dialogue. We're going to have two speakers. We're going to have Lars from Sweden and Sophie from France. And Sophie is the one who will be using these phrases. Oh, I should say we have Edna, who is the examiner, who is going to introduce this part of the speaking test. Edna, over to you.
Thank you, Mike. Now, in this part of the test, you're going to talk about something together for about 2 minutes. I'm going to describe a situation to you.
She puts a picture in front of both candidates. You can find the picture on my website at practicingenglish.com. Podcast 186.
A family are visiting a town for the day and want to visit a museum that they will all enjoy. Decide which museum would be best. All right, now talk together.
Shall I start?
All right.
What is that first picture? I think it's some kind of instrument.
Yes, I think it's a musical instrument. It looks very old.
So that must be a museum of old musical instruments, I suppose. It could be interesting for the family. What do you think?
Well, I don't think children want to spend time looking at instruments. It is a bit boring.
Perhaps you are right. What about the doll museum? I'm very fond of old dolls. I think they're fascinating.
Well, in the picture of the family, I think the children are boys. Boys might not be interested in dolls.
Yes, I've changed my mind. Anyway, what about the next picture? I think that's a museum of modern art, isn't it?
Yes, I think you're right. I'm not sure they would all enjoy modern art. It's not something everybody likes. What do you think?
Yes, good point. I suppose the children would find it really dull. Now, what about the dinosaur museum? Most children are keen on dinosaurs.
Yes, especially boys. However, I'm not sure the parents would enjoy seeing dinosaurs. Don't you think the parents might prefer something different?
I think most parents just go to see things that their children like. It's difficult to please everybody.
Yes, I agree. But it says in the instructions to find a museum they will all enjoy.
You're right. The parents won't want to look at dinosaurs. Okay, so perhaps the train museum is not an attractive idea for all the family.
It depends. If you can't climb onto the trains, it could be a little boring. But what's your opinion about the castle? That could be nice for everybody, don't you think?
Yes, you're right. I suppose there's an exhibition inside of old objects, swords and things like that. That's suitable for everybody.
Yes, I agree. And the parents would enjoy the history they could learn.
And the views too. I mean, from the top of the castle. Shall we choose the castle then?
Yes, let's choose the castle as the best museum visit for this family.
Thank you.
And my last piece of advice is make it authentic. If you want them to believe that the language that you're using is really your own language, well then sound as though you mean it. Don't just say, yes, I agree. What do you think? Really speak as though you are very interested in the task. Do it as though it is the most important thing in the world at that moment to decide which is the best option. Okay, until next time. Goodbye for now.